Welcome to St. Paul's Sunday's Snippets. This is a time where we're intentional about stopping and slowing down to hear and reflect upon God's word that's appointed for this day. I pray that as you hear God's word, you would allow it to enter into you, that it might become that seed that plants within you, so that through meditating upon God's word, you might bear fruit in your daily walk with Christ. Now we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Benevolent God, you are the source, the guide, and the goal of our lives. Teach us to love what is worth loving, to reject what is offensive to you, and to treasure what is precious in your sight, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Our first reading that's appointed for this day comes from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapters 1 and 2. It begins, "Vanity of vanities," says the teacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity. I, the teacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. I applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that is done under heaven. It is an unhappy business that God has given to humans to be busy with. I saw all the deeds that are done under the sun, and see, all is vanity and a chasing after wind. I hated all my toil in which I had toiled under the sun, seeing what I must leave it, that I must leave it to my successor, and who knows whether he will be wise or foolish. Yet he will be master of all for which I have toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. So I turned and gave my heart up to despair concerning all the toils of my labor under the sun, because sometimes one who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave all to be enjoyed by another who did not toil for it. This also is vanity and a great evil. What do mortals get from all the toil and strain with which they toil under the sun? For all their days are full of pain, and their work is a vexation. Even at night their minds do not rest. This also is vanity." The word of the Lord. As you heard this text, it might be a little bit puzzling, because it uses some words we don't always think about or put it in this understanding. It starts, "Vanity of vanities," says the teacher, "all is vanity." What exactly does that mean? What is this book after all? For a lot of the books of the Bible are self-explanatory. 1 Samuel is about Samuel. Ruth is about Ruth. Right? The Exodus is about the Exodus. Ecclesiastes, what is it? What is Ecclesiastes? What does that word even mean? The word Ecclesiastes is Greek. That means teacher or preacher. And this book is a part of what we call the wisdom literature. That's the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Songs. That part of the Bible that we look and we see it as wisdom that teaches us, that says, okay, here, how is it that we live? And this book, Ecclesiastes, is this teacher, this preacher, this wise person who has lived a long life and is looking back on their life and writing reflections about what is the meaning of life? How do I understand this? The tradition is that it's Solomon. We get that you know, I that was king over Israel and Jerusalem. We're not sure about that. But part of it is, if we go, wait a minute, if that is the person, that sometimes can give even greater depth to that understanding of what he's saying. Because if you think about it from the perspective of Solomon, Solomon was seen as the person who had the most money. He had everything, even to excess, right? Had 300 wives and 700 concubines or something like that. Had all kinds of wealth. And yet, this preacher, this teacher, as they look back on their life, they begin and they say, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. The Hebrew word for vanity literally means mist or smoke. It's something that's there that you can't quite grasp. I think about that sense of smoke. I grew up in a house where my dad smoked, and he would, at some point, my mom didn't allow him to smoke in the house. And so he would say, oh, I need to go out and check the weather. And that was his excuse to go outside and take a smoke. And as he would smoke on his cigarette, right, you have it, and then you blow out this puff of smoke, and it's there for a second, and then it's gone. Or a mist that's there, and you kind of see it for a second, but then it's gone. The author is saying, all of life, everything. We work to achieve all these things. We seek to gain all this stuff. And he says, in the end, it means nothing. It's like mist or vapor. It's there for a moment and gone. Other translations translate the word as meaningless, meaningless, meaningless. All is meaningless. I'm not sure that quite grasp it. It's there for a moment, and then it dissipates. And in some ways, this message may almost seem depressing, because he says all the stuff that we work for, all the things that we accumulate, all the things that we think in life are so important. He goes, when you really stop and you think about it, when you look upon your life in your dying breath, you realize all that stuff really wasn't that important. All those things we accumulate, in the end, are like that smoke that's there, and we see it, and we think it may be important, but then it's gone. So what's important? Should we just go, wait a minute, don't worry about anything? I'm not sure that that's what the author is trying to get at. He wants us to see that in some ways, what we may think of as so important really isn't. But the question it leaves us with is, what is most important? And as you read the text, this is where sometimes the lectionaries get in the way, because we read just this portion. But if you read the whole book of Ecclesiastes, it moves from here, and then it moves into a familiar passage that says, for everything there is a time, right? A time to sow and a time to plant, a time to reap, a time to laugh and a time to mourn, a time to be born and a time to die. That everything sort of happens. And no matter what we do, we can't change some of that. It kind of looks at life and says, there are going to be things that we can't control. It reminds me of my dad again. My dad used to tell me that he didn't worry about a lot of things, because there was no sense worrying over the things that we can't control. And I think that's part of this message throughout this whole book. Is there's all this stuff in life that we see that happens. And a lot of times we'll get worked up over it. We get worried. But the reality is most of it, we can't control most of it. That in the end, a lot of it is like mist or smoke. So what is most important? What is it that we should concentrate on? What is it that does give meaning to life? And if you read the whole book, there are some that say this kind of gets added later. But he ends with kind of a positive note. He says this at the very end of the book. The end of the matter. All has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments. For that is the whole duty of everyone. That part of it is you think about your walk with Christ, how you seek to live out your faith. What this person is saying is that the reality is what we should focus upon. He says, fear God. And that word probably isn't translated great. It means to revere, to be in awe of. That all of life, this is what we work toward. To revere God, to honor God, and seek to do his will. And that's the duty of all. All the other stuff will come and go. But how is it that we see God at work? The wisdom literature tries to teach us how we are to live. And sometimes we get caught up with some of the, you know, Proverbs sometimes makes it almost simplistic, right? Do good and you'll be rewarded. Ecclesiastes sort of has a counter to that, just like the book of Job. They kind of say that in life, we do all kinds of things. Sometimes good will come, sometimes bad will come. But what's most important is that God is with us always. The author, the preacher, the teacher looks at his life, and if it is Solomon, looks at a life that most people would go, I wish I had that life. And what he teaches us is that all of that stuff in the end doesn't make much difference. Reverence God and keep his commandments. That is the duty of all. Amen. Let us pray. Mighty Lord, within your word, sometimes there's challenging passages and passages that seek to help us to see things in different ways. Ecclesiastes is one of those that tells us that sometimes the things that we think are important aren't. Help us to live our life in a way that brings honor and glory to you and you alone. Help us to have our ears open, to listen to your Spirit, to lead us, to guide us, to mold us, and be with us as we seek to walk in your ways. Help us in daily life to be your hands and feet in all that we do. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over you, and within you to give you peace. Amen.